Greetings, this is Dr. William R. Glaze, the teacher and preacher here at the Anchoring in Jesus radio program. I'm coming to you with a special educational opportunity here at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, where fall classes are about to begin. On Monday evenings, we have Defending the Christian Faith, American Sign Language, and Financial Peace University being offered. On Tuesday evenings, we have our flagship Biblical Counseling program that is being offered. And on Thursday evenings, we have a new class, God's Viewpoint, Responding to the Gender and Sexuality in Our Culture. So why don't you give us a call at 412-242-3255 to find out more information about how you can enroll in one of these classes at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude part two of Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of part two of Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship.
With the Lord, there must first be admiration. Do you admire God? Do you sit and do you look at him? And again, somebody say, well, how do you look at God? I would say a couple weeks ago, I did a thing and I passed out a sheet on the attributes of God. And I think we listed about 9 attributes. If you just get that sheet and look at that sheet on the attributes of God and you admire them, that's what it means to admire God. And you see how a love relationship can develop out of that? You know, how does a love relationship develop between two people? It develops because they admire one another. They gaze at each other's beauty. There might not be too much beauty in us, but there's a whole lot of beauty to see in God. The A stands for admire. The D stands for delight. That you have to, if you're in a love relationship with God, that you have to delight in him. That means that you find pleasure and joy with God. Look at Psalm 37 and verse 4. And it says here, delight thyself in the Lord. And see, the problem is that we want to rush on to the next part of the verse, and we want to focus on that. And we forget about the fact that he said, delight thyself. What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? It means to find pleasure and joy in him. It means to be intoxicated with his love. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of intoxication that we see people doing on Saturday night. You know, I'm talking about a wholesome intoxication. I'm talking about being, as one singer said, that if there's a cure for this, I don't want it. I don't want it. A love hangover with God, that you are finding your joy, that you are finding your delight. You are getting satisfaction, you are getting gratification, you are getting pleasure because you are in a love relationship with God. See, if I'm in a love relationship with God, and my delight and my joy is in him, then it'll always be there. But if my joy is in my money, and I don't have money, then guess what? My joy is gone. If my joy is in possessions and my possessions are gone, then I don't have joy. I was reading the story about one man. It said he wanted more money, so he parlayed his inheritance into $1 billion wealth. He wanted more fame, so he broke into the Hollywood scene and soon became a filmmaker and a star. He wanted more sensual pleasures, so he paid a handsome price to indulge his every sexual urge. He wanted more thrills, so he built and piloted the fastest aircraft in the world. He wanted more power, So he dealt political favors and influence to United States presidents. And yet and still, in all that, that when he died, his life was emaciated, his skin was colorless, his chest was sunken in, his fingernails grew to a grotesque length where they curled up and just, he was unkempt. He had rotting teeth, he had tumors, and he had a drug addiction. I'm talking about Howard Hughes. He died believing the myth that more would give him joy and delight. He died a billionaire junkie, insane by all reasonable standards. He looked for his delight in this world. He looked for his joy in this world. And he found it not. My brothers and sisters, if we are in a love relationship with God, then we need to find our delight, our joy in him. He ought to make us happy. I remember one morning I went to the gym to work out, and I didn't see my wife before I left. She was still asleep. And afterwards, after I left the gym, I went to the store to buy something. And as I was shopping in the store, guess who I saw? My wife. And it's like my whole countenance lit up. There goes my wife. It was that joy, that delight. And so God wants us to be the same way. That if we are in a relationship with him, that when we come into his presence, that there ought to be some delight that we get out of it. There ought to be a quickening of the spirit. You know, no matter if we are heavy of heart, you might come to God heavy of heart. You might come to God, as the songwriter said, weary, worn, and sad. You might come to God that way. But there ought to be something in you that lights up when you come into his presence, because you realize that I'm in the presence of somebody that I'm in love with. I'm in the presence of somebody who I find my joy and I find my delight in. We're talking about this morning, how can you be in a love relationship with God? You admire, you delight, and then the next thing is ovation. And that is that you give God a hand clap of recognition for what he does. That's appreciation. Look at Psalm 47 in verse 1. Psalm 47 in verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. That, and you know, I realize that people worship different ways. I understand that. And, you know, some people, you know, we were watching a video a couple of weeks ago where people were dancing. I mean, and they were dancing unto the Lord, dancing with all their heart. And that was their way of worshiping God. Some people sit and just kind of meditate. Some people, when they want to show their appreciation to God, they give a hand clap. The psalmist says here, however you do it, he says give a hand clap, but I'm saying give an ovation. And the ovation can be a hand clap. And God has given us other ways to show our appreciation to him. That he has, watch this. When I was down and out, God gave me a hand. When I didn't have anything but the clothes on my back, God gave me a hand. When I ran out of gas in the middle of the night, God gave me a hand. And with all the hands that God has given me, surely I can give him a hand. Surely I can give him some praise. Surely I can do as the psalmist says here, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. that when you really appreciate somebody, that you recognize what they do. I remember I was watching one of my favorite preachers. He's gone on to glory now, Dr. E.V. Hill. And Dr. Hill pastored a church out in Los Angeles, California. And he was saying that on one occasion he had invited Jesse Jackson to come and speak in the afternoon. And that when they were having the afternoon service, everybody was sitting there. He said, and when Jesse Jackson walked in, everybody stood up and started clapping. And E.V. Hill said, no, wait a minute. Everybody sit down. Sit down. He said, Jesse's not going to walk up in here and get more praise than Jesus. He said, come on, let's give Jesus some praise. So they stood up and gave Jesus some praise because we appreciate what he's done for us. And sometimes the problem is that we express our appreciation to other things except the one that we love. I heard an interesting analogy the other day, and it says, real men barbecue. They like getting on the grill. They like barbecuing. He says, the women, they go to the store. The women fix the salad, the vegetables, and the dessert. The women prepare the meat for cooking, place it on the tray with the utensils, and take it out to the man who's lounging beside the grill. The man places the meat on the grill. The woman goes inside to set the table and check the vegetables. The woman comes out to tell the man that the meat is burning. The man takes the meat off the grill and hands it to the woman. The woman prepares the plates and brings it to the table. And after eating, the women clean up the table and does the dishes. And everybody thanks the man for the barbecue. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt and the hat. That's some misdirected praise. And yet and still, God wants us to appreciate him. And we appreciate so many other things, and we miss giving him an ovation. Adore, admire, delight, ovation. And then we move on to the R. And the R is to reverence. That we reverence God. And I like this definition. It says to acknowledge his sacred position and submit to him. That's exaltation. That if we are in a love relationship with God, that we acknowledge, Lord, you are holy. Lord, you are exalted. Lord, you have a sacred, you have a special place in my life and in my heart. It's just like when you're in love, that the other person that you're in love with has a special place in your life. Has a special place in your heart. So what you're saying to God is, God, you have a sacred position in my life. Lord, you have a place in my life where nobody else can go. Lord, you have a recognition in my life that nobody else has. Do you reverence God today? In Psalm 22 and verse 23, I'm reading in the NIV. It says, you who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. Psalm 33, verse 8 in the NIV says, let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the people revere him. Reverence. Does God have a special place in your life where nobody else can go? Nobody else can get to? When you love him and you show your love toward him, you adore him, and you carve out a place for him in your heart. You carve out a place for him in your life. And it's a sacred place only for him. In London's Westminster Abbey, there are many great men and women that are buried in the floor of the church. Every day, visitors walk over their tomb without hesitation. Every day. But there's one tomb where people consciously walk around. Even the queen, when she was coronated and she came in, she walked around it. And that was the tomb of Britain's unknown soldier. Yet and still, people walked over all the other people's tombs. But that one tomb, they revered. That one tomb, they respected. That one tomb, they set aside. Well, I'm here to tell you today that we have a soldier. He's Jehovah Sabaoth. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of the armies. And we ought to reserve a place for our not unknown, but our known soldier, the one who fights our battles for us, the one who chases our enemies and puts them to flight, that we ought to have a place for the known soldier, Jehovah Sabaoth, and that we ought to revere and respect him, and there ought to be a place where others can walk in our life, and they can walk up and down, but this place right here, you can't touch, you can't get here, that this place is for God. This place is for him. I've set it aside just for God. Do you adore him today? Do you adore God today? Do you reverence him? And then finally, the E, it stands for esteem. And what does it mean to esteem? It means to ascribe him worth. It means that you give God some value in your life. It means, Lord, you mean more to me than anything in the world. And see, the thing about this value is that you can't put a price on it. That God is so valuable to me that in your life that you would say, Lord, I don't know what I'd do without you. That's how valuable you are to me. In Psalm 12 and verse 6, it talks about the words of the Lord, and it says that they are more precious than silver, tried in the fire 7 times. In Romans 11, 33, it says, all the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. You can't put a price on what God means to you. I can't put a price on what God means to me. A little boy came up to his mother one day, and he said, gave her a piece of paper, and on this paper it said, for mowing the lawn, $5. For making up my bed this week, $1. For going to the store, 50 cents. For playing with my little brother while you went shopping, 75 cents. For taking out the trash, $1. For getting a good report card, $5. And for raking the yard, $2. Total owed, $14.75. And the mother took the paper and looked at it, studied it, turned it over, and she said, and wrote on the other side, for the 9 months I carried you, holding inside me, no charge. For the nights I sat up with you and doctored you and prayed for you, no charge. For the time and the tears through the cost and the years, no charge. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. For the nights filled with gray and the worries ahead, no charge. For the advice and the knowledge and the cost of your college, no charge. For the toys, food, and clothes, for wiping your nose, no charge. You see, when we begin to try to put a cost on what God has done for us, you can't even begin to attach a value to that. And he does all that for us at no charge. Having a Bible to read about the Lord, $10. Having a car to drive the church and worship the Lord, $10,000. Being in a love relationship with the Lord, priceless. Priceless. You can't put a price on that. And sometimes we just need to sit back and we need to evaluate how valuable God is to us. When was the last time that you sat down and you thought about how valuable God was to you and all that he means in your life? That's what it means to adore God. It means that we have this relationship with him where we admire him, where we delight in him, where we give him an ovation. When we think about and meditate on him, we revere him, and then we esteem him. Do you adore God? Do you really adore God? I like the song that the young people sang this morning about just getting in his presence and being still before him and adoring him. We sing the song at Christmas every year. Oh, come, let us adore him. When was the last time you adored him? When was the last time that you got up early in the morning, or you stayed up late at night, or you took your lunch break and you just got before the Lord and you just adored him? You just loved on God. You know, I like that story that I told last week about the lady when they asked her how her life went. And she said, I get up in the morning, and she said, I read until I can't read anymore. And then I pray until I can't pray anymore. And then I sing until I can't sing anymore. And when I'm finished, I just sit back and let God love me. And after you let God love you, then you ought to flip the script and you ought to just love on God. How do you love on God? If you take these five things that I shared with you today and you just focus on him, that's what it means to love on God. I got one more message left in this series. Next week, I'm going to finish it up. But we've been talking about pursuing intimacy with God. And we need to make up in our minds that we just don't want to have a casual, everyday, run-of-the-mill relationship with God, but that we want to be personal and intimate with him. And so over these past 2 months, we've talked about an intimate relationship with God. And so today, my prayer is that you have drawn closer to him and that you have become more intimate with God. Because after all, this whole earth will pass away, and only that relationship with God will last through all eternity. We'll have relationship with others, but that'll be our most significant, our most meaningful relationship is to be with him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of People Who Are Intimate with God. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, part two of Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request part two of Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request part two of Developing Intimacy Through a Love Relationship. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Dr. Glaze has authored a book titled In the Garden with the Father, which can deepen your study of the pursuit of intimacy with God. You can order In the Garden with the Father by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.